and I hope he feels better. The Lord just worked it out for us to come by because we are leaving in less than 12 days. But still, we were able to make it. Thanks to Pastor for giving us this opportunity to be here. When I think about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a duty. It's not a must. It's not something you have to do. It should be something you want to do. Because if you are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus and all that he did on the cross means anything to you, there will be just one heartbeat that you will have. I will serve thee because I love thee. That's what you would desire to do. I was born and raised in a Catholic home in India. The British, when they ruled India, there was a lot of intermarriage that took place several years ago. And that's why you would notice my name, Hendricks, is not typical an Indian name. If it was Patel or something else, you would say, oh, that's Indian. But Hendricks? Mm-mm. But I'm Indian because my ancestors are British, but there's been an intermarriage that took place several generations back. But I was born and raised in a home that did not know Jesus Christ. I'm not son of a preacher. But my parents were alcoholics. Dad started at a very young age. Mom joined in. And all I saw when I was growing up was just alcohol, fun, fighting, and literally poverty. There were days we didn't have food because the money had gone into alcohol. My brother 5 years older to me, there were times we would just say, let's go to the movies because that's what is going to give us some relief. We went the wrong place doing the wrong thing. But we would come back and see the same thing. My brother just took it very personal and he wanted to end his life when he was just 15 years old. He consumed poison and God revealed it to me in time. I was able to get him to the hospital. My parents were drunk. They wouldn't have even known they lost a son. But God helped my brother. He is alive, married. He's a deacon of a Baptist church. But that made me to start thinking, what is life as a 10-year-old? Not having anything to look forward to. I would stand outside my little hut of a house that I lived. And I would say, God, if you exist, where are you? If this is life, I don't want to live it, Lord. And my dad would often tell me, if you can't take that bottle and put it to your mouth, you're not a man. Some days I just wanted to go and grab that bottle and put it to my mouth and say, I'm a man. I'm glad I didn't. I hate it with a perfect hatred because I saw what it did to my home. But God heard my cry and God sent an American missionary from the U.S., born and raised in the U.S. God burdened his heart for India. God burdened his heart for Bangalore. God burdened his heart to my town. And guess what? He comes and starts Bethel Baptist Church. And I get to go to Sunday school as a 10-year-old. And one Sunday morning when I'm leaving church, the pastor's wife sits me down and says, hey, do you know where you'll go if you die today? She never expected that answer that I gave her. I said, heaven. And she said, wow, how do you know for sure? I said, I'm a good boy. I don't do any bad things. The bad things are what my parents do. You understand? Alcohol and all. I don't do bad things. She said, well, can I show you what the Bible says? I said, sure. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all, and that's all. Ooh. As a 10-year-old, I did not know theology, but I knew one thing. I was a sinner, like everyone else. But I also got to know that day that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that if Adrian believed in Jesus, he will have eternal life. That 10-year-old, that morning, trusted in Jesus Christ. I had a joy that surpassed all that was happening around me. I walked back home just to tell my parents, I'm saved. Jesus is within my heart. And guess what I saw? Alcohol. I was angry, but I knew one thing, that my parents needed Jesus. If ever there was going to be a change, it was the Lord who was going to change them. And I started to pray as a 10-year-old. But that American missionary family just packed up and moved out of India after that. Their visa was taken away and they left the country. By God's grace, I got into contact with them 3 years ago. And they were excited to hear of what God is doing in my life. And they told me that they often felt those 3 years in India was wasted years. They saw no fruit. But when I told them, thank you for coming for me. If you didn't come, I don't know, maybe I would have ended my life without Christ. And they said, you made our day. We thank God we came to India. You know, missions is God's business. And when you are part of that business, you may not see the results on this side of heaven. But when we walk those streets of gold and when we sit, we'll talk it over in the sweet by and by. We will realize that it was never a waste to invest in missions. And I thank God, after he saved me, he called me into ministry when I was just graduating from high school. I had all my plans. I wanted to become a pilot. I thought if I earn a lot of money, I could bring my family out of poverty and we would be better human beings. But somewhere God had a hold on my life. One Sunday morning from Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, God's call for ministry was so clear. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? I looked around and I could feel those words piercing my heart. I told the preacher, I said, I just feel that something disturbing about this message. And he said, well, just say what Isaiah said. Here am I, send me. I said, but I can't. I can't speak. I'm a shy person. I mean, I'm the worst in my family when it comes to public speaking. He said, you know, God is not asking, can you speak? He's not asking, are you able? He's just asking, are you available? I said, yeah, I'm available. He said, that's it. Just say, here am I, Lord. You know, God requires just two things from each of us today. That's availability and a willingness. Can't you do that? He doesn't ask you what you can do. He'll show you what he can do through you when you're willing and you're available. And that's what I did in 1990. I said, here am I, Lord. He took me into Bible college. I graduated with a theological degree and the principal's daughter. It was a double major. I think that's the best that ever happened to me, my wife. She's a pastor's daughter, so she came with a lot of experience of ministry and how things are done. I learned so much. We've been married 26 years. And we said, Lord, if you bless us with kids, we want to raise them with the fear of God. We want to show them that which is right. We want to set an example with our lives. We've been imperfect parents. But by God's grace, in a heathen country, we've asked the Lord to take a hold of the lives of these boys. And each of them have trusted the Lord as their personal Savior. They've been baptized and they sense a call of God for ministry. They have different talents and I believe God's going to use all of that to complement and work for the ministry. But what a privilege we get to serve Jesus Christ. He takes things that the world may consider useless, but he uses it for his glory. And so tonight I want to turn your focus to the book of Acts. And I want to look at Paul's life. You probably have heard several sermons from this, but I just feel burdened today to take you back to that as we enter the first Sunday of this new year. I want the Lord to speak to us about what is the purpose of our life. What is your life's purpose? I see so many young people here, and when I look at you, I see potential. I see future. But I also know that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Satan is looking at you as someone whose life he wants to not only spoil, but even destroy. And young people, if you don't surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, right here, you are going to be a victim, not a victor. Because Jesus Christ came to give you life and life more abundant. He is for you, not against you. But the enemy of our souls is all out to get us and crush us. Oh, how many times in the last 26 years I have felt like quitting the ministry with the problems we've faced. I felt so discouraged with not having another person to even talk with. You know, in India, Baptists are not only independent, they are isolated. I don't think you have the problem in US, right? Some pastors said they do. Many are just building their own kingdom. They're just concerned with their own activities and they fail to realize that we are all working for the same master. We are not in competition, but we are complementing one another. But guess what? Persecution has made all of us realize we need each other. I have pastors calling me and saying, hey, how are you dealing with this? Can we meet over coffee? Can we talk? I have a problem in my church. Can you help me? I said, good. This is what I was praying for. You know, God has his own way of bringing us together. Not a compromise, but to strengthen one another. Because we need each other in times like this. But I ask you today a very pointed question. What is your purpose of life? I want to tell you that I can state that clearly. That's why I'm standing here before you today. If you had met Paul, whether he was on the ship or you met him in prison or you met him in the marketplace and you said, hey, Paul, what is your purpose of life? He's not going to scratch his head and say, well, I'm still praying about it. He just knew every day why he was living on planet Earth. Well, in his own words, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you mean, Paul? He says, well, Christ made all the difference in my life, and to give him back all I have is the least I can do. He lived every day to please the one who gave his life for him. When did all of this start? In Acts chapter 9, you can see Paul on the road to Damascus. Chapter 9 of Acts, verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Can I just say something here to all of us here? We all have a history. We all come with a lot of baggage. We all come with upbringings that we didn't choose. I'm a son of an alcoholic. And by the way, both my parents trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. My mom did at the age of 60, and she had 5 years to serve Jesus at the church. She was a servant. She would clean the church and set it up. And there was one prayer on her lips always. When a chance was given, she would say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving a sinner like me. I'd still remember those words. And I said, Mom, don't you have any other words? Only that? She said, well, I thank the Lord every time for saving a sinner like me. But my dad refused. Even after my mom died at the age of 65, my dad said, I was born Catholic, I'll die Catholic. He pretended, he made the confession of faith, he got baptized, but I watched him very closely and I never saw any evidence of salvation. And I was worried sometimes with some of the addictions he still battled with. And I would often say, Dad, you got to make sure you're saved. And he said, I'm more saved than you are. He said, when Jesus comes, I'm going to be taken up and you're going to be begging me to pick you up. I said, that doesn't sound biblical at all. You know, he would mock at spiritual things, and I was concerned, and I would tell my church, pray for my dad. And they would say, Pastor, don't you believe him? He says he's saved. I said, yeah, but I know him closer, and I'm concerned about him, you know. Not doubting salvation, but just concerned about him. But I remember that night, 7 years ago, when after the meeting, I went to see my dad. He was living with me, and he had refused food, but he was on his deathbed that day. I didn't even realize he was going home. And as I went to him, he was breathing hard. It was almost like he was passing out, but he was so conscious of everything around him. I don't know what he was seeing, but it looked like he was seeing things that I couldn't see. But he said this, which I never prompted him to do. In his last words, last breath, he said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, receive me. Lord, I ask you to save me. I don't know why the Lord gave me the privilege to see and hear that. And the moment his heart stopped beating and I was holding him, I wasn't crying. I was rejoicing because I said, Dad's gone home. And God didn't have to do that, but he did it because a lot of people were praying for my dad to get saved. I want to tell you, if you have a wayward son or a daughter or a father or a mother, keep praying for them. Don't give up. It may be that deathbed, but that prayer will be answered. And even if you don't see it, believe me, it will be answered in God's way, in God's time. And so my parents are with the Lord today. I just wanted to add that in case you wonder whether they are still battling with alcohol. Oh no, they are free. They are enjoying, the fountain of life. They are with the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is Paul on the road to Damascus, and the Lord meets with him. And the Lord's presence just overwhelmed him in verse number 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Can I just say this up front here? If you are living a life the way you want to live it, and you have your plans for your life and you're saying, you know what, I think this is going to please God. I think I'm going to do this with my life. You might be actually contrary to God tonight. You might be in a path where you're persecuting the cause of Christ. Wow. Young people, are you listening? Everything that's good may not be for God's glory. But everything that is for God's glory will be for your good. If you seek to glorify God, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it for one reason. God glorify it. Paul says, whether by life or by death, Christ shall be magnified in my body. You see, we have only one life to live. And if we are not going to let the Lord Jesus be glorified and magnified in our lives, we are wasting our lives. I dare say today we are persecuting Christ. His cause is not our priority. We are using God to fulfill our desires rather than fulfilling His desires. We are coming to God with our plans and saying, God, this is what I would like to do for you at the church. This is what I want to do. Have you ever asked the Lord, what does He want you to do for Him? It's a complete different thing. You know, that day when I surrendered and said, here am I, send me. Oh boy, it changed my feeling. It changed my thinking. It changed my outlook of life. Everywhere I looked, I could see multitudes and multitudes lost without Christ. I never saw that before. Everywhere I read in the Bible, I could see, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. I said, Lord, God was impressing on my heart, this is what I want to do. You give me another chance to go back and live my life, I'll want to do all of this all over again, but with more commitment, with more dedication to my Lord Jesus. I wouldn't change a thing. What is your purpose of life? And here is Paul. The Lord asked him, why are you persecuting me? Verse number 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Maybe tonight you are here unsaved. You don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You are diametrically opposite to Jesus. You are running with the devil. He's your friend and he's told his lies that you have believed. Listen, the Lord is showing up today. The Lord is revealing who He is. He is your Savior. He is the only one who came to give you life. All others are thieves and robbers who want to steal your life from you. You know, if you don't give your life to Jesus, you're committing a spiritual suicide. Because you're selling your soul to Satan. You may get pleasures. You may get everything the world offers you. But you will lose your soul. Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Young people, are you saved tonight? I was just, any 10-year-olds here? Any 10-year-old? Oh, there we are. Sweetheart, I was your age when I gave my life to Jesus. I hope there are some here. If there is even one person who hasn't trusted the Lord, don't leave this church sanctuary. Talk to the pastor. Stay back and say, Lord, I want to find the purpose of my life. And it begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, your Savior, who died for you on the cross. You know, acknowledging that is what saves you. The Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, what is it? Thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Well, if you are, look at the next question. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse number 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, we often just read this like it just happened at the spur of the moment. He was riding, he was knocked down, he saw the light, he heard the voice, he responded, moved on. You know, but think with me. Just a few chapters ago, Paul is standing as Saul of Tarsus, a hard-hearted man. He's watching Stephen being stoned, his brains being shattered, and Stephen's clothes are laid at Paul's feet, and Paul is watching the drama unfold. And he's saying, this is what's going to happen to Christians. You know, I fear when people are persecuting Christians, they are persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one can get away doing that. You see, Paul was allowing persecution on Christians. But what did Jesus tell him? You're persecuting me. We are his precious ones. We are his bride. And I fear whichever nation turns against Christianity or persecutes Christians, God's hand falls on them. I'm praying for mercy for the nations that persecute Christians. And so here Paul is saying, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's my focus tonight. Have you come to the Lord with that open mind and said, what would you have me to do? Lord, this is what I would like to do in 2022. These are my plans. I want to get more involved in the church. You see, you are making the rules. You are making the suggestions to the Lord. What do you want him to do? Say, okay. How about going to the Lord with a blank piece of paper and say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I am willing and I'm available. That's the least we can do for all that he's done for us. And the Lord clearly tells Paul what he would have him to do. He says, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And when Paul was taken to the city, he meets with Ananias. And here the Lord reminds Ananias that Paul is a chosen one and that he is sent to bring salvation to people and go to places. You know why you and I are saved? If we were saved just to go to heaven, if we were saved just to escape from hell, then the moment we accepted the Lord, you and I should have disappeared. The rapture should take place the moment you're saved, because that's why you were saved, right? To go to heaven. But heaven is the final thing that happens because we are saved. Where else can we go once we are saved? But we were saved so we can serve the Lord Jesus. We were saved so that God can stamp the image of his Son upon us, that people who can't see Jesus will see Jesus through you and in you. Paul says, by life or by death, Christ shall be magnified in my body. In the book of Philippians, Paul says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. We don't need to just say the gospel. We got to show the gospel. Our lives have to be lived like Christians. I'm asking you tonight, what are some of those areas in your life that you need to let the Lord have a free way or have a say in those areas? What are those areas you've closed in and said, Lord, not here. Lord, not this. Not my friends. Not the things I like. Not the music I listen to. Lord, not my career. Tonight, would you open your lives like the way Paul did and said, Lord, what will thou have me do? Just think about this, folks. If God did not meet with Paul, well, let's put it the other way. If Paul did not surrender to God, we wouldn't have had about 13 New Testament books in the Bible. The Gentiles would have never heard the gospel because these other disciples were only with the Jews. Asia would have not got the gospel. Think of the many missionary journeys this man of God took. Maybe there is a Paul seated here tonight. And you look at your life and say, I have been a waste. In fact, how can God even take me? I've been so filthy. I've been so bad. Listen, God took the persecutor and turned him into a preacher. If you will allow the grace of God to work in your lives tonight. I don't know what God is speaking to you, but I just felt burdened of the Lord to share this with you tonight. Lord, what will thou have me to do in 2022? I hope you can answer that question, or rather put it to God and let the Lord fill in the blank sheet. Life will be lived to the fullest for the one who deserves it. He is worthy of your love. He is worthy of your service. Pastor.